John chapter 3, our text for this morning. And let me read for you verse 1 to verse 8. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Ye must be born again. And you may ask, why do you preach to us this message that we have heard the umpteenth time, the hundredth time? He must be born again. We know this message very well. Well, let me tell you the story of Dr. Harry Ironside. Dr. Ironside was once invited to preach in a certain church. And he preached this message from John chapter 3, Ye must be born again. And a few weeks later, he was invited again to preach in the same church. And he preached the message. And he preached once more, Ye must be born again. And after that worship service, one member of the church, who was quite upset that he repeated his message, went up to him and asked him, Dr. Ironside, why do you preach to us again? You must be born again. You just did so a few weeks ago. And his immediate reply was, because ye must be born again. Yes, we must be born again, and we better make sure we are truly born again. There may be those who think they are born again, but are not. Are you sure you are saved? Are you sure you are regenerated? Are you sure you are a child of God? Are you sure you are on your way to heaven? Make 100% sure you are born again. Today, many movie stars and sports stars claim, and they call themselves, that they are born-again Christians. Can we be sure they are born again? Well, only God knows. But what is our concern today is that we make sure we ourselves, personally, we know for sure we are born again. And I know of Christians who may be Christians, but they say we have never heard this term, born again. We do not know what it means to be born again. That can be very true. Because in many churches, this message is not preached. Ye must be born again. So how can we know? How can we tell for sure that we are born again? And in this passage, let us look at what makes and what does not make a person born again, to understand what it means to be born again. So firstly, what does not make a person born again? We first begin with a negative. What doesn't make a person born again? Now firstly, over here, we see that religiosity, being religious, does not make a person born again. Now over here we have a man visiting the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 1 we read, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night." So we have this man over here called Nicodemus, and he was a Pharisee. Now who or what is a Pharisee? Now a Pharisee was a religious leader, he was a religious teacher. And in the New Testament time, in the days of Jesus, there were about 6,000 of them, of these Pharisees. We read a lot about them in the scriptures. And they were, of course, people steeped in the Jewish religion. They knew the Hebrew scriptures very well. They went through many, many years of training to be a Pharisee. And they were religious policemen. They were enforcers of the law. They were law enforcers, and they would make sure the people, the Jews, kept the commandments of God. And not just the biblical commandments, but also all the extra biblical commandments that they create, that they make up. And we read of how they did so in the New Testament. And so they were very pious people, or at least they appear and look very pious. They were very religious. They were the pastors of the nation of Israel. And over here we find Nicodemus being one of them, one of the 6,000 Pharisees in the days of Jesus. And he was no ordinary Pharisee. Now we also read from verse 1 that he was a ruler of the Jews. A ruler of the Jews. In other words, he belonged to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the highest ruling body of the Jews in those days. And the Sanhedrin consists of 70 seats. There were 70 seats in the Sanhedrin, in this council of rulers. And in the Sanhedrin, there were the Sadducees, and these were the priests, namely the high priest, right? And the priesthood who served in the temple. Then you have the Pharisees and the scribes. These were the people who made up the Sanhedrin. So Nicodemus here, being a ruler of the Jews, he was one of the select few of the Pharisees who belonged to this council of rulers. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. So he was no ordinary Jew. And yet, although he was a very important religious leader in a Jewish community, when he came to see Jesus by night, Jesus was not impressed with his standing in the church and told him, "Ye must be born again." Well, we would think and expect that he, being a religious leader, such a religious man in full-time service, a pastor of Israel, would be saved. Jesus told him, "Ye must be born again. You must be born again." And this tells us that it is not being religious that will get us saved. And please don't think that if I can get into a leadership position, then surely I will be accepted by God, I'll be saved. These things do not save us, dear friends. And in the church today, there may be pastors and preachers and elders and deacons who may not be saved, may not be born again. How many a pastor and a theologian today do not believe in the fundamentals of the Christian faith, and yet they are pastors. They are ruling the church, they are governing the church, but they don't believe that Christ was born of the Virgin. They don't believe in the miracles of the Bible. They don't believe that the Bible is 100% perfect without any mistake. They deny the inerrancy of Scripture. They deny that Jesus came to die for our sins. They deny the substitutionary atonement. They also say you don't have to believe Jesus rose from the dead. Probably he never rose from the dead. In fact, he ran away with Mary Magdalene, his favorite female disciple, and then went and lived somewhere else, happily ever after. They have all these beliefs, and yet they call themselves Christians, and not just Christians, pastors and teachers, leaders in the church, bishops, archbishops, those who may be elders and deacons. And they are involved in many, many religious activities. And if Jesus were here today, he will say the same. Ye must be born again. And for those of us who are born into Christian homes, into Christian families, please do not think that just because I'm born into a Christian family, I'm automatically saved. And Sunday school teachers have to tell their students too, to the children and to the young people. They may have Christian parents, but they must know that being born in a Christian family does not automatically make us believers. We must be born again. The children that we have, that God has given to us, they themselves must be born again. They must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They must, on their own, confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe. I believe. And I want to have the same kind of faith my parents had. They must know the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and how we as parents must pray for their salvation from day one. Pray that God may have mercy to save them also. And we as parents must teach them also the gospel and pray with them. They truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. Do we as parents pray for our children every day? We must pray for their salvation, dear friends. For I fear many of our children may hear the gospel, but may not have really and truly believed. And they have the false impression, because Papa and Mommy are Christians, I'm also Christian, I'm also born again. No. They have been born into a Christian home. They must be born into the kingdom of God spiritually. And they must know this doctrine very well. And we must teach them. We must not take it for granted. Nicodemus here was a Jew. He was born into the nation of Israel. God's chosen nation, but that doesn't make the Jew automatically a member of the kingdom of God. Yes, he may be a citizen of the nation of Israel, but until he is born again, he is not a citizen of the kingdom of God. So we have to make sure, dear friends, that we are born again. And it is not just also by coming to church. Yes, coming to church is important to keep the Lord's Day holy, to come as a community of believers, to worship the Lord is important. But please know that coming to church doesn't make us saved either. It's not churchianity that saves, but Christianity, having a personal relationship with Christ. The church doesn't save. Only Jesus Christ saves. And please also don't have the false impression that I must be very active in church to make sure that I'm saved or born again. Of course, being active in church is very good. We want to serve the Lord. But service in the church doesn't make us born again either. We may be involved in many activities, just like Nicodemus. He was involved in all kinds of religious activities and religious ceremonies and meetings and so on and so forth. He also prayed his prayers. He made many prayers. Being able to pray also doesn't make us born again. Being able to preach also doesn't make us born again. There are people who can preach. They have the gift of the gab. There are those who can even make and pray beautiful prayers. They may not be born again. Nicodemus, this Pharisee, knew the law inside and out, and he kept the law very meticulously, doing that which is right, and yet Jesus told him, "Ye must be born again." And this can apply to our situation also. Are you born again? We must make sure of this, dear friends. Not just this, but also in verse 2 we read, Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, and look at what he said. He addressed Jesus as Rabbi. Nicodemus said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Are these good words and right words to say of Jesus? Well, he made a good observation about Jesus, didn't he? And he addressed Jesus as Rabbi, meaning teacher. You are a teacher. And then not only that, you are from God. You are from God. He could see that Jesus was a godly man. That God was with him. And he also saw the miracles that Jesus did. He saw the miracles. He did not deny the miracles. And through the miracles, says, yes, God must be with you. Jesus must be a prophet. And we can use all the right terms. We may know about Jesus and call him with the right names, with the right terms, and yet not be born again. Nicodemus made good observations about Jesus. Yes, was Jesus a rabbi? Sure. Was Jesus a teacher? Sure. Did Jesus come from God? Yes. Did Jesus perform miracles? Yes, I see he performed miracles. And God is with him. But knowing this is not enough to save us from our sins. Ye must be born again. And Jesus was not impressed by all these observations that Nicodemus made of him. And when Nicodemus addressed him as Rabbi and teacher, you are from God. Jesus was not impressed. And did not commend him either, but preached to him, ye must be born again. It is not enough, dear friends, to know about Jesus Christ. Many people know about Jesus Christ. They may read the Bible. They may read many books, Christian books about Christianity, about Jesus Christ. They know about him. But do they really know him? There are many of these who are liberals and modernists. They know about Jesus Christ. The liberal pastors, the modernist theologians, they know about Jesus. And they say the right things about Jesus, who he is, Well, he's a good man. Look at all his good works. And Jesus is our, you know, good example. We should follow in his steps. But they all fall short of really the glory of Jesus Christ. Although Nicodemus here addressed Jesus as rabbi and teacher, you are from God, you are a miracle performer, and you are a prophet, I see this in you. He fell short of seeing who Jesus truly was. He did not see Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He knew his Old Testament. He knew the prophecies and the promises of God, that a Messiah would come. But he failed to see that Jesus was this Messiah, this Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was a good man, a prophet, a teacher. Well, just like me, you know, I'm a religious teacher too. And he saw Jesus as an, perhaps as his equal, and an equal level with him, but not someone above, beyond him, someone from above. He failed to see Christ in all his glory. And also he failed to have this personal relationship with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said, ye must be born again. He must be born again. While Jesus was not impressed with his knowledge over here, and sometimes we think we know, but actually we don't. You know, Nicodemus here thought he knew Jesus, but he did not. For in verses 9 and 10 we read this. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can a person be born again? He didn't understand what Jesus meant when Jesus told him, except a man be born again, verse 3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus could not understand. And that's why in verse 4, he asked this question. How can a man be born when he is old? I'm already an adult. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You mean I must go back into my mother's womb and come out again to be born again in that way to be saved? To see the kingdom of God? Of course, Jesus was not saying that, but he could not grasp the spiritual things that Jesus was speaking of. And this proves he was not born again. He was not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. For spiritual things we know are spiritually understood and discerned. Unless we have the Holy Spirit working in us, the spiritual words that Jesus speaks, the spiritual words of the Bible, would be foolishness to us. We cannot understand. And this proves the very question that Nicodemus asked of Jesus over here, must I go back into my mother's womb and come out again, shows he was not saved, not born again. And that's why Jesus repeated verse 5. In verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus could not understand these things. How can these things be? And verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Don't you have a master of theology? And you are a master of Israel, you are a teacher of theology in Israel, and you do not know these things? Because these things are very basic, very elementary, the very first steps of a toddler in the spiritual life, if you're born again. These are very, very basic things. Initial steps we take into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God, and you are a religious teacher, you have a master's of theology, and you're supposed to be a pastor of Israel. You don't know. You're supposed to know, but you don't. And so we cannot take for granted, dear friends, that we know all these things. Is we have a lot of Christian background, and FEBC students likewise. Doesn't mean that you are trained in FEBC automatically and naturally you will be born again. How we pray students, they come in, are truly saved, but there are those who have come in who think they are saved, but not saved. We have a number of students like this. And by God's grace, we praise the Lord that after they study one and or two semesters in FEBC where the gospel is preached, and they finally realize what it means to be saved, to be born again. They confess their sins, they repent, believe in Jesus Christ for who and what He is, and then at the end they confess, I wasn't a Christian when I came in, but now I'm a Christian. I know what it means to be born again. We have in our college an Anglo-Catholic nun. And she never knew what it meant to be saved because she was taught it is good works that save. So I must do many, many good works, observe all these ceremonies and rituals to be saved. And she discovered there is no salvation in all these things, and she was finding the way to heaven, to the kingdom of God. And when she came to FEBC and studied, now she has really experienced freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows what it means to be born again. How about us? We may be coming to church. Are we born again? Are we sure? Make sure we are born again. And born again has to do with having a personal relationship with Christ as our Lord and Savior. And for Nicodemus here, he was not born again. He could not understand all these things. Yes, he could see Jesus for who he was only in his mind, but he couldn't see Jesus in his heart. There was still no life in him. Why? Because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. And that's why in verses 11 and 12, we read this. Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our true witness. Ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Yes, Jesus pointed out the problem. You believe not. It is your unbelief that has kept you out of the kingdom of God. And that's why you cannot see. You think you see, but you really do not see. You think you know, but you really do not know. And there are Christians like this. I've come across a number of them. Years ago, I met this lady in the church. And she was in the church for many years. You're a member of Life Church. And one day she just came up to me and said, Brother Jeffrey, you know, I don't understand what pastor is preaching week after week. I mean, this was our late founding pastor, Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. And she told me, I just cannot understand what he's saying over the pulpit, his messages. Cannot understand. And she was a long time, for many years, a member of the church. Quite religious, quite active, serving, right, in the church. And yet she said, I cannot understand. I was quite taken aback. How is it that you don't understand? The reason is really very simple. You must be born again. You must be born again. And I cannot take it for granted that everyone here is born again. And I must, and that's why I have to preach this word, so that your blood will not be in my hands. I preach this word. You must be born again. And make sure of it, that you're truly a child of God, that you are a citizen of God's kingdom, that when Jesus comes down, we will be up there, and this whole sanctuary will be empty. I pray this will be the case. but is something you must ascertain and determine for yourself. You are born again, truly. And please don't say, I know the name of Jesus. I know the meaning of the name of Jesus. I know the meaning of the term Messiah or Christ. Yes, I know all these things, and I pray, I call on Jesus, and so on and so forth. I call him Lord. But just calling on the Lord like this is not enough. It doesn't save. And Jesus is not impressed. Now, you turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Jesus gave a very, very serious warning over here. And Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yes, we call on the name of the Lord. We call on the Lord and we say, Lord, Lord. That's good. Make sure that he is truly our Lord and truly our Savior. But there are those who may call Jesus Lord, Lord, but he was never really Lord of your life. They lived in their own way, according to their own will. Not according to God's will or God's word. But yet they called the Lord, Lord, Lord. And Jesus says, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do you know God's will? And that's why in this coming camp, I felt a burden to talk about God's will. You know God's will. What is God's will? And here Jesus says, you must do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Look, they preached, they prophesied, they even cast out demons, they performed miracles. And yet Jesus is not impressed. It's not all these things that would save us. And Jesus told these people, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And this can be applied in our situation too. Didn't I come to church every Sunday? Didn't I give my tithes and my offerings? Didn't I sing the hymns, praise God, from whom all blessings flow? And there may be those who say all these things, and Jesus would say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? Not born again. Not born again. We must do the will of God. And that is the fruit. The fruit of being born again. But we in our life do the will of God, and we are always found in the will of God. And that's why if you read the rest of the verses here, from verses 24 onwards, that's why Jesus said in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Then, all right, you are born again, and you become wise. The wise spiritual words of the scriptures you can understand, and you have the power to obey these words. And you'll be a wise man who has built his house upon the rock, the solid rock of Christ and his word. And whatever comes, it will remain strong. You must be born again, you see. But Nicodemus, yes, he may know the scriptures, but he's not doing the will of God because of his unbelief. That's why Jesus told him, you must be born again. Is there any unbelief in our heart, in our mind? Oh, may the Lord help us if we have any unbelief. May we say, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That all unbelief and doubts of the Lord Jesus Christ, doubts concerning His truth, will all be banished away. Lord, I believe, I just take Thee as Thy word, and I believe You are the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God. I just cast myself into Thy care. You know everything, and You reveal Thyself in Thy word. I just believe what You say. How we need that kind of faith today. It's only faith that saves. Many fail to understand this. So all these things don't make a person saved or born again. Being religious, being someone important in the church, a leader, this doesn't get us saved. Knowing about Jesus doesn't get us saved. What makes a person born again? What makes a person saved? Well, verse 5, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So the birth is not a physical birth, not going back to the mother's womb and coming out again that makes us saved. It is a spiritual birth, Jesus is talking about. That which is born of flesh is flesh. We must be born of the Spirit. It is a spiritual birth that Jesus is speaking of here. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. What does it mean here? To be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, the water here refers to spiritual water. In fact, the conjunction end here is explicative. It explains what the water means. Except a man be born of water, even of the Spirit. In other words, it is spiritual water here. Not natural water, but supernatural water that only God can give. The water that comes from the Spirit. Spiritual water that cleanses us. That makes us clean. And this spiritual water is none other than the Word of God. For the Spirit works with and uses the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, to convict and to convert us. That is the spiritual water that He uses. And it's not by works, but by the Word of God that we are saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Titus chapter 3 verse 5 tells us that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Spirit. Spiritual renewal, regeneration, and the cleansing power of the Spirit by the Word of God. So when the Word of God is preached to you, when the Gospel is preached to you, do you say, "Yes, Lord, what You say of me is very true. I'm sinful, I'm undone, I'm wretched, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless. I really cannot save myself. I'm guilty. Oh God, I'm guilty. I deserve eternal damnation. But Lord, thank You for the good news of Jesus Christ, who died for my sins according to the Scriptures, according to Your word, You said so. And He was buried on the third day, rose from the dead. For my salvation, according to what You say in Your word, I have not seen Jesus Christ. I have not seen His death on the cross. I have not seen His resurrection. I have not seen Jesus. But because Your word says so, and I know I'm sinful. I know I'm heading to hell and to the lake of fire for eternal condemnation and torment. But thank Thee, Lord, for this good news. And Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save me, I believe in Jesus Christ." And you believe sincerely, 100%, no questions. And you are saved right at that moment. And then the Holy Spirit indwells you. And you become changed. And then you experience God. Day by day, you don't just know about Him. Now you have a personal relationship with God. For God dwells within you now, in the Spirit. Jesus Christ lives with you and within you right now. And you say, how can I know this, that the Spirit is indwelling within me when I believe by faith? How can I tell? How can I know for sure? Well, verse 8, Jesus says, look, the work of the Spirit is sure and certain. We cannot see the invisible work of the Spirit, but we know that He works. And when He works in you and within you, you can tell, you can know. So the Lord says here in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Yes, we cannot see the wind, right? It's invisible. It has power. And it blows where it willeth. There is this independent power of the Holy Spirit that goes to work in the hearts of men. And if He works in you, you know. You know. When He convicts you of sin, and then He converts you and gives you the faith to believe, and grants you the peace that passes all understanding, so that when you're born again, you have the peace of God and you know all your sins are forgiven. That kind of knowledge only the Spirit can give. And you will know also for sure. It is a mysterious work of the Spirit over here. The work of the Spirit is mysterious, and He works in different ways as He moves, as He's used by God. And like wind, sometimes the wind is like a storm, like a monsoon coming, blowing very hard. And sometimes we are saved. God used storms, and the Holy Spirit comes in most dramatic fashion. And the Lord sends storms into our lives to cause us to be humble before Him, and then to understand the gospel, and then to believe. And then we say, Lord, I surrender. Right? And there may be a number of things. The Lord may send. Some of us may be converted in that way. Sometimes the wind is a very gentle and soft breeze that blows. Some of us are born, say, in a Christian family, and then the Lord convicts and converts us, and we believe and are saved. Some are like Saul. God sends a storm in his life, and Jesus appeared before him on the Damascus Road. And then he began to see. Some of us are like Timothy, born into a Christian home. And Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother who were believers. And then from young, he was taught the scriptures. And then he believed, the Holy Spirit working in his heart. A very soft way. I thank the Lord that He has saved me. I was born into a Christian home. And my parents sent me to a Christian school, a mission school, St. Andrew's. I believe they sent me to a mission school because the gospel is preached there. I would hear the gospel at a very early age of my life. And in St. Andrew's school, there was this religious emphasis week. Every year. And so from primary one, I heard the gospel. Yes, they invited an evangelist, a preacher. He preached the gospel. And I can still remember very clearly the gospel that was preached. And when it was preached, I was convicted of my sin. And the Lord caused me to understand what sin was all about. To understand what is the meaning of life. And how Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. And so when the altar call was given, who wants to believe in Jesus? Immediately I put my hand up. Very readily, the Lord prepared my heart. There are some of us who are converted in this way. Some, we are stubbornly rebelling and resisting. The Lord sends a storm. But if God wants to save us, God cannot fail. He wants to save us, He will save us. And the Spirit will come in mighty fashion to convict and to convert. And once the Holy Spirit resides in your heart, He will bear testimony, He will bear witness in your heart that you are a child of God, confirming the Word of God that you read. And then you know for sure you are a believer. You are saved. you are born again. This we learn from Romans chapter 8, verse 16. You turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And I'll end off with this. In Romans 8, verse 16. This mysterious working of the Spirit in our hearts, in our hearts of each and every individual Christian, although it's mysterious, yet it can be known. It can be experienced. And you know that you are saved when the Spirit indwells you and testifies within you, confirming the Word of God that you read and study, that this is the truth, that I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, and I have no doubt about it. Romans 8, verse 16. Let us read this together. It says here, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It is the Spirit that is the objective witness. And also the Word of God, which is also an objective witness. And to our confirmation, when you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and the Holy Scriptures in your hands, and both are infallible, and they confirm the truth in your heart. You are a child of God. You know for sure you belong to Him. And you can see the kingdom of God. And you can understand the Holy Scriptures. And you have the power to obey the Scriptures and do the will of God. You experience this in your life. Ye must be born again. How do you know? You just know. For instance, how do you know you're in love? Hear people say, I just know, right? Similarly, how do you know you're born again? You're a child of God. I just know. Not because of me, not just because of feelings and emotions, subjective feelings or emotions, but because of the Holy Spirit residing within you. And then the truth of God's Word, the Holy Scriptures, and they confirm that truth in your heart, in your mind, that you belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to you. You know. It's something you should and can ascertain for yourself. And of course, God knows as well. He must be born again. Are we born again? Make sure we are truly born again. And you can be born again today. You just pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, save me. I believe you died for my sins. And then you rose again from the dead. And I surrender my life to you. You are my Lord and you are my Savior. Change me and make me more like Christ. Thank thee for this free gift of salvation. And I want to love thee with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, save me with all sincerity, knowing the truth, you will be saved. You will be born again. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, please, granted that all here in True Life BP Church will be born again. Everyone, not only members of this church, but most importantly, members of the Kingdom of Heaven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray for each one. I pray for all our children, especially each one of them. They are saved, Lord, born again. Please hear our prayers. Remember thy promise to us that when we believe in Jesus, we believe not only we will be saved, but Lord, you have said our household. So please not only save us, save our loved ones, our family. We pray for thy mercy. Bless us, we pray, for all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.